Hey, guess what? Football season has started back. Woo, it's Christmas early. Hey, with that in mind, Merry Christmas. All right? Listen, it's only 114 days until Christmas. You got all your shopping done yet? Which means it's only 87 days until Black Friday. I know some of you have got that date circled on your calendar so you can go and get those big deals. And that means that there's only 86 days left until Thanksgiving. Yes, Thanksgiving. For some of us, that's like the favorite time of the year where it's okay to gorge out and to feast, to watch football all day. And you may sneak in a little bit of Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. How many of y'all watch that parade? That's kind of a, yeah, all right. I love that parade. I've grown up on that parade. My favorite parts are the bands and the balloons. How about y'all? Yeah, you like the bands and the balloons? I love those giant helium character balloons, and they got like Kermit the Frog, and they've got Snoopy, and they've got Spider-Man, and they're like seven stories tall, and they're very impressive. But imagine, basically, my bucket list, I want to go to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade once before I die. That's kind of one of my bucket list items. I think it would just be awe-inspiring to go and to just be a part of that spectacle and to just enjoy the atmosphere and the bands and everything that goes along with it. But can you imagine if you and I were to go on this bucket list journey with me, and if we got there and the bands were so, but imagine if we got there and the every balloon had not been inflated. They're just dragging these empty balloons. How impressive would that be? I mean, if that were to happen, we'd be like, somebody got some splaining to do. Ricky, something's up here. We would be let down. We would be mad. We'd want somebody to make something right, either blow up some balloons or give me my money back. Well, we're in this series called The Seven Churches in Revelation, and Jesus addresses a church that he's heard a lot about in Sardis. And I want to read this to you, and if I can unlock this thing. Hey, there we go. Here we go. This is what God's Word says. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, and that thou hast a name that livest, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are about to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come on thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot their name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray together. God, it's your word. It's living and it's active. Not only did it speak to the Sardis church, but it speaks to our church and to us as individuals today. Lord, we ask that you would make it come alive in our hearts, that we might heed that word and that we might be molded and made by it to who you would want us to be. We look forward to this time together, and we pray that you would lead us to where you would have us to go. In the strong but generous name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus is telling this church, I know your deeds. I know your reputation. But here's the deal. You can't fool me. Although you have a reputation for being alive, you are dead. Boom. The truth bomb was detonated. Can you imagine being in that church the day that they received that word? Talk about having your bubble burst. You know, you think you're doing good. You feel like everybody in town is talking about us. Everybody's saying all the right things, and they're saying that we've made it and that we are the best. And yet Jesus comes and he speaks this word and he says, I know the deeds. I know you've got a reputation for being alive, but y'all are dead. Pop. Pop goes their balloon. They thought so much about themselves. They had this inflated view of themselves. And Jesus comes and he says, that's not reality. The reality is you're empty. You're dead. There's nothing going on. I'm wondering today, what would Jesus say to our church? What would Jesus say about us? What would he say about our reputation? What would he say to us as individuals? How about our testimonies? Are we self-inflated? Got a great view of ourselves, and we really think more of ourselves than really what's there? Is the reputation matching the reality? Is the reality matching our reputation? Listen, how do we kind of come to figuring out what we can do to resurrect a dead church? Or God, what can we do to resurrect a dead testimony? Or how can we make sure that we're not the deflated church, that we're not the ones that have no life, that have no vitality? What can we do? Well, I want to use the story out of Revelation chapter 3 today, that I think if we prayed three prayers, I believe God will answer them and help us to be a church that he would be proud of and that would allow us to feel good about ourselves. The first prayer we would need to pray is, Lord, help me to see the gaps. Help me to see the gaps in my life. Looks impressive, doesn't it? It's cool. It's doing what a balloon was made to do. But you know what would happen if we put a gap in this balloon? Begins to shrink, doesn't it? Lord, help me to see the areas where I have gaps in my life. Lord, help our church to see the area where our reputation isn't lining up. Basically, that's what Jesus said to the church in Sardis. Listen, you're dead because you've got some gaps there in the church. You've got some areas where your spirit is leaking out, where the vitality is leaking out. Lord, help us to see the holes in our testimony. Show us where the life and the vitality and the air is being let out so that we can fix it. So that, Lord, we don't have this deflated balloon of a church or this deflated balloon of faith in our own lives. So where are the gaps? Well, Jesus noted it to Sardis. There's the gap between reputation and reality. What people see and what people say versus what's real, where the rubber meets the road, where things are actual, not just about appearance. Anybody here ever gone on a blind date? Blind dates are really big on the reputation and the reality. All right? I can just tell you this. I used to get fixed up all the time by folks. And which meant they were fixing me up with somebody. And I guarantee you, they used the same description for both of us, trying to sell us on each other. He's got a great personality. You know what that translates to? He's big. All right? Great personality. He's a porker. All right? Same thing. She's got a wonderful personality, but you better bring the dog biscuits along, all right, to take care of. One way or the other, they want to blow it up and make it seem like something very attractive, something great. But the reality, when you go on this blind date, you're like, oh, man, I've got to have her back to SeaWorld by midnight, you know? Or the same thing for them. I'm not picking one way or the other. The reality is blind dates are all based on reputation. But oftentimes what we find is the reality is a whole lot different than what we've been told. All right, anybody here ever been on a great blind date? Awesome, awesome. I was beginning to lose faith in the whole blind dating system. But it's the difference between what's promised and what's provided. And Jesus said, listen, the church in Sardis, they promised big things. But when I'm looking at it and I'm weighing their deeds and I'm seeing who they are for real, the reality just doesn't match that. You know, if I go to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, they better deliver on the promise of great bands and those ginormous balloons. If they go dragging those things deflated down the street, the reputation isn't going to meet with reality. What they promised is not going to be what's provided. It's the same thing with our testimonies. Do we deliver on the big talk that we have on Sundays? Do we do that? Is our reality
matching our reputation? You know, then there's the gap between our words and our actions. We say that we're disciples of Jesus, but are we disciplined in that discipleship? Do we pray every day? Do we really communicate with God? Do we spend quality time in His Word learning and studying the Bible so that we know what He wants us to become, how He wants us to reflect Him to the world? Do we give? Do we love others? Do we forgive? The reality is, a lot of times in the church says one thing, and the individual members in the church say one thing, but then we go and we do and we act another completely different way. Do my actions support my words, or is there a dissonance there? Do I have this but deliver this? Do I say I love God, but by my actions I really show that I love the world and being a part of it and being a member of this brokenness? You see, if I inflate one day, if I come to church on Sunday and I allow God to fill me up, but then I spend the other 6 days, then my reputation doesn't meet my reality, and my words are not lining up with my actions, then there's another gap. The gap between what the Bible says and oftentimes what we believe. Is that the case for some of you? Is it the case for me? Listen, do we pick and choose what we want to accept and believe out of God's Word, or are we living it completely as it is stated in the Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 says, In the end times, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Back in the time of Thomas Jefferson, you know what Thomas Jefferson did? He had a Bible that he created, all right? And in his creation, he cut and pasted all the parts of the Bible that he didn't like. He started just cutting them out. The miraculous, he didn't like that, so he cut it out. The things that he didn't think applied, he cut them out. And so he had this Bible that was a really minimized, reduced vision of what God has and what God has done and what God wants to do in us. We can't go around cutting out the parts of the Bible that we just don't agree with or that we have a hard time living up to. Listen, that's the standard. That's what God says here. I give this to you so that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. Don't just ignore it. Don't just cut it out. Live into it and watch as my Spirit fills you. That's the reality. Back in the day, I don't know if any of you remember this bumper sticker, but it was real famous back in the 70s or 80s. It was this: God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You remember that bumper sticker? Maybe it wasn't as big here as it was up home, but it was, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know what's wrong with that? That I part. God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. The reality is, God's truth is truth, and we need to believe it, but it doesn't, it's truth, and it's being settled doesn't rest or rely on whether I believe it or not. God said it, that establishes it, bottom line. And some of us, there's this gap in our testimony because of what the Bible says versus what we believe. What we say, what we live, our reputation versus our reality. And so what happens is when we pick and choose what we will believe or how we will act, the air's let out. Then there's also the difference, the gap between our head knowledge and our heart's experience. If I said, how many of you know Jesus? Pretty much every hand would rise up because we've heard the name Jesus. We know about Jesus, but the reality is it's got to go from here knowing about Jesus to here where we've had an experience with Him. Some of you may know my wife, but I know my wife because I've spent time with her. I know her to the depths of her personality, the good, the bad, the ugly. Jesus is saying, I want to be in relationship with you. I don't want you just to know about me. I want you to surrender your life with me and spend enough time where you actually get to know me on a deep and intimate level. Listen, there's gaps between our faith and our fears. There's gaps between our purpose and our practice. The bottom line is there's a lot of things that we have that make us look good, but there's really nothing there. It's empty. And I'm not talking about being perfect. Listen, y'all, none of us in here are perfect, but what I'm asking is, are we allowing God to do his work to transform us from this into something big and glorious for his sake? So how do we close these gaps in our lives? I mean, we know we've got them, each and every one of us. We could list out the things where we're negligent that is letting the air out of our testimony balloon or that's destroying our churches. God, how can we fix the gaps? We know they're there. God, show us. Well, we need to pray this second prayer. Lord, help me to close the gaps. Help me to mend the balloon. Help me to take the areas that are broken and those places that have spaces in them. Lord, close the gap. Close the gap between where you want me to be and where I currently am. In Revelation chapter 3, 2 and 3, Jesus says to the church in Sardis, you got to wake up. Strengthen what remains. Remember what you've received and heard. Obey and repent. Because if you don't wake up, I'm going to come like a thief. How do we revitalize a sense of closeness with God? How do we mend the gap in our balloon? Jesus says, here's what you've got to do. You got to wake up. You got to wake up. You've fallen asleep. You see, the church at Sardis, if I can give you a little background, was a reflection of the city in which it was ministering. The city of Sardis was built on a plateau about 1,500 feet above a plain. There was only one narrow way to get into the city, and it was very easily guarded. You could see anybody who was coming for miles around. Yet twice in its history, this city was conquered, once by the Persians and then once by the Greeks. And you know how it was taken both times? Because a dedicated group of soldiers watched the city and watched how people scaled the cliff. And so they decided, if the people can do it, there's a way for us to do it. And so they would climb up at night. And when they would get to the top, there was no one guarding the city because they felt so confident that no one could scale the wall. They were all asleep and the city fell easily. Jesus writes to this church at Sardis and he says, y'all got to wake up. Y'all have got to wake up. And everyone in that church would understand what he meant. If you're not awake, you are vulnerable to attack. Jesus is saying, we've got to wake up and close the gaps. Check it out. You remember in the weeks prior to this one, we talked about the problems that the other churches had. Some of the churches had false teachers. Some of the churches were experiencing suffering. Some of them were located where Satan's throne was. Yet this church doesn't have any of those things. There's no false teachers. There's no suffering. They're not located where Satan's throne is. And yet Jesus speaks the hardest word to this church because they've gone complacent and they've fallen asleep and their balloon has been deflated. Jesus tells them to wake up. I've got two sick children right now at the house. One's got strep and the other one's got high fever. Probably got strep too. But you know what's happening at our house? The kids are sleeping a lot, which for a 3- and a 6-year-old, that's unusual, isn't it? You know, you don't have kids just laying around lethargic, but the kids are sleeping. And you know what we've got to do? We've got to wake them up so that they can take their medicine. You know, I think that's what Jesus was saying to the church in Sardis. Wake up so I can give you the medicine so that you can take this and get better. What does he say there? You've got to remember what you have received and heard, and then you've got to start walking in it and obeying it. Listen, these were people who have been taught right from wrong. They knew what they were supposed to be doing, and they weren't doing it. And so Jesus is saying, wake up and take the medicine. Begin to operate on it. Begin to follow the directions and the instructions. Follow the prescription that I've given for you for health and vitality. You have got to remember it and begin to walk in it and practice it. Listen, if the doctor tells you you need to rest, you better rest. If the doctor tells you to drink fluids, what do? You drink fluids. Jesus is saying, listen, y'all, here's the prescription. Now follow it. Everything that you've been taught, everything that you've heard. Philippians 4:9, I love it. Paul's telling the church there in Philippi, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. James chapter 1:22, it says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just be hearers of the word. Be practitioners. Be doers of the word. So you got to remember, then you've got to obey, and then he goes on to say, and then repent. You got to change up the habits that were bad. Stop drinking after one another, Madeline and Landon, my children. You're going to get sick if you drink after one another. Stop the bad habits. Jesus is telling the Sardis church, listen, you got to wake up. You got to stop doing those things. You got to repent. You got to turn around. Acts 3, verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Do you have gaping holes in your life, in your testimony? Wake up. Take the medicine. What you've read and what you've heard about the Bible, obey it. Stop practicing the things that are making you sick or that's creating the gaps or the holes in your testimony so that you can be patched, so that you can be refilled, renewed, and refreshed. You want to hold air? Get patched. Lord, show us the gaps. Lord, show us how we can close the gaps. And then lastly, Lord, by your Spirit, we will overcome. Lord, only by your Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, declares the Lord. Jesus says to the church in Sardis, he that overcomes shall be clothed in white, and I will not blot their name out for the Lamb's book of life. You know what Jesus is saying to the church in Sardis? Get well soon. You were made for more than this. You were made to be overcomers. And those who overcome, I am going to honor, and I'm going to bless. And they're going to be with me in my Father's kingdom. And I'm not going to scratch their name out of the Lamb's book of life. I'm going to introduce them to my Father, and we're going to spend eternity together. You see, this balloon is different than the other balloons. You know why? The presence of helium. My wind, although I'm hot winded, it's not going to lift that balloon up. But you know what? You put the right thing in the balloon, and it's able to overcome gravity, isn't it? You put that helium in there, and it's going to soar. We can fill our lives with a lot of stuff, and a lot of times we try to fill our lives with counterfeits, things that actually don't lift us up but that bring us down, addictions and all sorts of activities. The bottom line is they're bringing us down, and God said the only thing that's going to lift you up, the only thing that's going to make you an overcomer is my Spirit in you, and then you will rise, and then you will soar. Listen, we don't have time for it this morning, but there's a great Bible study that you can do because the word for spirit is also the same word for breath in the scriptures. And so where the spirit and the word happens in scripture, there's life that springs forth. The spirit plus the word equals life. That's the study I encourage you to do. You look at Genesis, the Spirit is hovering over the waters, and God spoke, and life exploded into existence. God created man, and he breathed the breath into man. He breathed the Spirit into man, and man lived. the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37. He said, prophesy over these bones. Prophesy to the spirit. Word, spirit, the bones came alive. Jesus' baptism. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and God spoke, and Jesus' ministry went into hyperdrive from the time he was baptized. John chapter 6, 33 says, the words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Spirit, word, life. My prayer today is, I don't know where you are in relation. Maybe you're here. You're just deflated as a Christian. You're just empty inside. You try and you try and you've tried filling yourself up with other things, but you're sinking. You're not soaring. Maybe it is that you've said yes to Jesus, but you've gotten complacent and you started trying to walk in Him in your own power. And instead of being filled up, you're finding out that the air is being let out of your testimony as you just don't have the strength to live for Him on your own power. My prayer is that we will wake up and take our medicine, that we will see what the Word says, and we won't just hear it, we won't just see it, but we'll obey and we'll walk in it and we'll repent of those things that create gaps in our balloon, and that we will realize the reality of the Scripture in Romans that says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal body. Y'all, as Christians, we weren't meant to be overwhelmed. We were meant to soar. God made us to be overcomers. Lord, as Your Spirit and Your Word fill our lives, we will overcome. We will overcome. God, we will rise. We will rise. We will soar. We will conquer. We will not be deflated or defeated or dead any longer. We are going to be Your church that reflects You. Our reputation will match our reality. Our words will line up with Your word, and we're going to walk the walk and we're going to talk the talk. God, we're going to put the old ways in the past. Behold, new things and new times have come. God, we want to be filled with Your Spirit so that the world can see that we rise above. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us to overflowing. Show us the gaps in our lives and our testimonies. Show us the gaps in our churches. Wake us up, God. Repair the damage that we've done to who You want us to be. Help us to remember and to refresh ourselves in the things that we've learned, and give us the courage and the boldness to walk it out day by day. God, help us to obey Your word in a way that honors You and blesses others. Lord, we repent today for being overwhelmed. We were made to be overcomers. Fill us by Your Spirit, O God. Breathe Your breath upon us, O God. Revive us and help us to soar. Enable us to overcome, and we will overcome. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I don't know where you are today, but I want to pray for you. Would you pray with me? Lord God, You know who we are. You know what we've done. God, I just thank You that You love us anyway. That the One who loves us, You know us. You know us best, and yet You still love us most. Today, God, we come in here with gaps in our spirits. We come in here with gaps in our testimonies. And God, we want You to show us the gaps so that You can begin the work of repairing the gaps. Lord, each and every person in this congregation, in this place, Lord, I pray that You would speak to them, that You would walk amongst the chairs, the aisles, the tables, the booths, that You would just speak a word of life to us. That we don't have to be overwhelmed and overcome, but that we can be overcomers by Your Spirit. Lord, help us to buy into that formula. Your Spirit, Your Word brings life. Lord, if there's any here that has not said yes to You, that they don't know about this life, they don't know about this infilling, today I pray that this would be their opportunity, their salvation moment, where they just say, I surrender everything to You, O God. Come and be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins and my past, and help me to walk in a new direction for the rest of my life in You. Guide me by Your Holy Spirit and let me soar. Lord, this is our prayer today. You know what we need, and so provide. Provide for your people. We love you, God. It's our prayer, and we pray it in Jesus' name.